time I have considered the idea of doing a series on beginnings, but I hesitate to say I'm going to do a series on beginnings because I'm not real good at series. I get started and then I fade out and I pick them back up a long time later and I fade out again. But there are a lot of beginnings that we find in the pages of Scripture, and I want to spend some time looking at them. And of course, if we're going to start looking at beginnings, there's one place we have to go to begin, and that is in Genesis chapter 1, because everything begins there. So this evening, we want to consider some of the things that we find in the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis. And hopefully we will move from this into talking about some of the other beginnings and how those beginnings affect us even today. I hope it's obvious to us how the beginning told about here in the book of Genesis chapter 1 affects us today. And certainly we will spend some time looking at the text and considering what Moses had recorded for us. First, we want to make mention and consider that even the name of this book is a reminder that it's all about the beginning or origins. In fact, if you were to use maybe the vernacular of today, you would refer to this as an origin story. Some of the movies that are coming out now are origin stories for various things and such. And what we have here is the ultimate origin story, where it tells us the beginning of all things. Now, archaeology has uncovered and is able to show us that there were recorded things about the beginning of time even before this was recorded by Moses. The book of Genesis was written by Moses several hundred years after the beginning of things. The book of Genesis, while it contains the story of Abraham, wasn't written until Abraham had been long gone. It contains the story before the flood, but was written long after the flood had taken place through the inspiration of Moses, the prophet of God. We have this story. And oftentimes when you are reading maybe in the commentaries or various books that might give you some insight into the things that are talked about in the book of Genesis, you might see chapter 1 all the way through about verse 3 or 4 of chapter 2 referred to as a creation hymn. In fact, I think that's the way Haley renders it in his Bible handbook. It's a creation hymn. And this has led to the idea among some that this is a condensed story and it is a symbolic story of what happened at the beginning of time. I hesitate to do that because there are several references further on in the Old Testament and what Moses wrote, most particularly when he wrote to the Israelites regarding the Sabbath day. He makes reference to these 7 days of Genesis 1 as if they are a complete week. And so I would hesitate to say that this is some symbolic rendering, but we are aware that the word day or days is used to enumerate a number of different time periods. And so we keep our minds open, but understand that still, even if this in some way is referring to some sort of different period of time than what we might see as a 24-hour day, it still says God created the world in these time frames. And He set it in place the way He wanted it. And it wasn't a case of some gradual process over eons of time amongst the nothingness of nothing that became what we have today. We have here the origin story of the world. Certainly, when we start thinking about the creation of the world and the things that are written there in Genesis chapter 1, we need to keep in mind as we begin the things that John wrote in the very beginning of his gospel in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, as we looked at just a few months ago in our Wednesday evening class. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing that came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We saw His glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. When we read this creation story in Genesis chapter 1, forefront in our minds needs to be the Word that spoke creation was Christ, Jesus, who came. Certainly, it should emphasize to us and cause us to keep in mind that Jesus has been associated between God and mankind from the beginning. There is no time that man has lived on earth where Jesus was not a part of the transactions and such that were taking place. We read beginning in the first part, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And that word God there once again references the Godhead, the deity. Not just the Father, but all that is God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit as they are shown to us later on in the New Testament Scriptures. And the Word continues to tell us that at this time the earth was without form. It was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. If there is no other way for us to be certain that all three of the Godhead are here, linking these two verses with John chapter 1 gives us God the Father, God the Son, and now the Spirit of God is moving across the waters. Here we have all three parts of the Godhead representative, because Christ is the Word that speaks in verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. Certainly we've made reference to this passage in the past and will again regarding how it expresses to us the power of God. But as we consider this and we're thinking about this in light of beginnings, this is the beginning of light. Until this time, there was no light. It was darkness as far as our universe was concerned. It was only when God spoke that there would be light, that light came to be. And there was a separation of the light. God saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there were evening and there was morning one day. Now we read through this, and this is very simple language, and we recognize here, but I want us to take note here, day and night are designated in these verses. On the very first day, there was a separation between light and darkness. From the very beginning of time, there's been a separation between good and evil, light and darkness. And we need to keep that in mind as we go about reading through the Scriptures. There's never been a time in recorded history that there was not light to dispel the darkness. From the beginning, it started with light. All things started with light. Light is essential. It's something that nothing on this earth can get away without having to some degree or another. Then He said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. He made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning a second day. When we read the very first few verses, we read that the earth was formless and void, and God moved upon the surface of the deep. The deep what? The deep waters. And now He's made a distinction between those waters. He's caused a separation there. A separation, the expanse, or firmament, as it's referred to in the King James Version, is the heavens. Not the heaven where God dwells, but the heaven that separates the waters on the earth. Well, now, wait a minute. We got water down here. Where's the other water? Well, I'm not a science teacher, but I did go through science a little bit. And all those clouds up there in the sky, that's the water that we're separated from. The atmosphere that we have that allows life on this earth. Without that separation of water, without the environment that surrounds the earth, the atmosphere, the expanse, there would be no life here. God separated the waters from the waters. Those waters that are up above the firmament separate us from the vastness of space. They separate us from the harsh realities of the sun that gives us our light that we'll read about in a few more verses. without those waters above the expanse, without the atmosphere that surrounds the earth would be much more like Venus and Mars and such. We wouldn't be able to inhabit it. So what we have here is the beginning of the atmosphere, and the livable part of the earth. It's what gives us our air to breathe. The oxygen, the carbon dioxide, the nitrogen, and all of those things. Here's the beginning of those. So, we start with God, certainly. Then we have life. Then we have the air that's necessary for us to survive. And it is after that that we read, beginning in verse 9, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Evidently, up to this point, there wasn't any dry land. All that could be seen was the waters of the deep. Now, based on what we've got recorded here, and certainly this is a summary of things that were done, but it explains to us the power of God as well, because God spoke these things into existence and it took place. When He created that expanse that separated the waters, now those waters aren't just floating around out there all over everywhere. They're contained in one place. And now, dry land has been given. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters He called seas, and He saw that it was good. Now we've got a place for things to live. Oh yes, we have water. We still got a lot of water in here. But what part do we live on? What part do we exist in? What part is necessary for our continued well-being and for us to continue to engage in the activities of life, to converse with one another? Land. We don't do very well interacting with people that are in the middle of the water. We have difficulty getting to them. And I mention that, and we think, well, that's kind of obvious. Well, yes, it is. But it reminds us that what God is doing here is preparing the place. What we have here in these 3 days are what might be described as the preparation for what was to come. But as we have learned from science, and God knew from the very beginning, because He's the one that designed all things, there's something more that's needed than just water and air and land. There has to be a system in place so those things can be replenished, so that those things can be kept going for a continued period of time. And so, once there was dry land there, He said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation. Plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the third day. Here's the first day where we have multiple things created. First day we had life. Then we had the firmament, the atmosphere that separated the waters. And now we have the waters pulled together in one place and dry land appear. And from the way this reads, it indicates to me that at that time, all the land was in one place. I don't know, I wasn't there. For all I know, the continents that we live on and the shape and everything that they've got right now is what they've had since the very beginning. I think there's some reason that we might think that they were in a different configuration at this particular time. And if we are able to keep doing some beginnings, we'll get to another beginning in just a few chapters that will show us how those things could have come about. When we start about talking about the beginning again. But if you remember your high school science, I couldn't tell you which particular one is part of it, probably biology or something like that, earth science or something. Did you ever have one of those terrariums? The glass globe that had some dirt and some plants and some water, and you kind of pretty much sealed it up, and it'd take care of itself. That's what we have here. God has created an environment for life. God has prepared the way so that life can exist on the face of this earth. And He begins by plants in this place so that animal life can succeed, can exist. Without the trees, without the grass, as much as we may hate to mow it, we wouldn't exist. When we get out into the barren parts of the land that's here upon this earth, we find it to be much more difficult to bear up under the extremes. When we get into the lush areas where there's lots of vegetation and the air is refreshed on a regular basis because of that vegetation there, it's much easier for us to get by, to live our life. Most likely what we had at this time was a very tropical climate, much like we might find in the rainforest in the equator nowadays. The Scripture tells us later, in the first part of chapter 2, when He tells this story again, in just a couple of verses, that it had never rained. That a mist came up from the earth and watered the plant life that was there. But we have the perfect place for life to exist, with the beginnings of life, atmosphere, land, and plant life. And so in verse 14, we read, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Up until this time, all we had was light and dark. But on the fourth day, God created a system by which that light and dark could change on a regular basis. And you know, from that point all the way through time to now, they have been following the exact same pattern without fail. The only reason that we were able to send men to the moon or to send probes to Jupiter or Saturn or Pluto or out into the great beyond, as they've got some going now, is because we could predict where those things were going to be because of the system God put into place on the fourth day. God, rather than just having light and dark, He gave us the sun and the moon so that we would have light even in the darkness. Think about that for a minute. Think about that in a spiritual sense for a minute. Even in the darkness of this world, we have the light of Christ through His Word. We don't have to wait until day to have some light. We have light that rules the night. It's a reflection of the sun, much like we're a reflection of Christ, the Son of God. But here, Moses, as he records this story, as he, if this is a creation hymn, that's fine with me, if that's what they want to call it. Some sort of means of poetry to help the people to remember the story of how God created the world, that's certainly fine with me. And here he tells us that on this fourth day, God set systems into motion that would control this earth that He prepared for life. I know there are some that look and say, "Well, no, wait a minute, you've already got life on there, you've got plant life." Well, yeah, okay. But plant life isn't animal life. Plants are plants. They're a more of a machine sort of thing, just an organic machine. They don't think, they don't decide, they just grow. ingrained within their seed as to exactly what they will do. And so there's a separation between that kind of life and the kind of life that is coming. That kind of life is to prepare the place for animal life that is to come. Just as the sun, the moon, and the stars are there. They are assurance, along with the insurance we have from the rainbow after flood, that the seasons are going to continue as they've always have. With the rain that we've had this year, we talked about this being a wetter summer than we've had in a long time. Just a year or so ago, we were talking about how we wish we could have some rain, probably on this very day, in the month of August, just a year or so ago. Begging for rain, and now we've got it. So there's some variance, but we know that summer's going to end and fall will come. And fall will end and there will be winter. And when winter comes in our part of the world, it's going to be cold, at least compared to what it was during the summer. And then we're going to have spring. And when spring comes, we can be guaranteed that all of those pretty little flowers out there are going to bloom. Why? Because God put the sun, moon, and stars above the expanse to control the seasons and the days for signs, days, years, seasons. Up until the fourth day, there was no time. There was no calculating, we've got this many hours until daylight is gone, because there was no means to see that time. Even as advanced as we are today, and our clocks are no longer set by the moon and such as they used to be, they still are based in those principles that the sun controlled the shadow on the sundial that God established on the fourth day of creation. The fourth day we see the beginning of time, which is another element of what is necessary for man to live. As much as we might like to think we don't need time, we wouldn't get along very well with that. How would we know when to plant our crops if there were no seasons? How would we know how much time we have left to finish up what we're doing if darkness just came at any time? You see, once again, what we see here is a part of the preparation for life. Then in verse 20, God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the water swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Now we have life. All kinds of life. If there were great sea monsters living in the Loch Ness, this is when they started. If there were birds that were as large as our jet airplanes today flying around in the heavens, this is when they started. And I use the term "if" there, because we don't have specific recording of those things in the Scriptures. And the only place we can go and know that what we read is true and factful without doubt is in the Word of God. He talks of sea monsters. I could describe. These things were created on this day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Once again, preparing things for man. How would we live on this earth without plants, than the other animals. How do we survive? I'm not a tree-hugging greenie or anything, but I'm pretty glad that we've got plants and animals to provide us sustenance. And I think we need to consider how we use those things God has given us, because they were prepared for us in the very beginning. I hope that as we look through here and as you think on this and as you consider this later on, that you see how all of these things were brought together for the purpose of giving a place for God's greatest creation. As far as these 6 days are concerned, at least, mankind. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. In any of this other reading, is anything said about these creations being in the image of God? Even though we read throughout the pages of Scripture that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, when it talks about God creating light in the first few verses, it doesn't say in the image of God. It doesn't say He created light like God. But when He created man with a purpose. And that purpose was to make something in His own image. Once again, we know here in verse 26 that he uses the term "let us," a reminder that there's more than one involved. Taking us back to John chapter 1, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning. God, deity, created man and gave him dominion over all the things upon the earth. Everything was placed under His power and under His rule. And we continue in verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has yielded fruit or has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be for food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything which moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Note that. When He looked at everything that He had made on the sixth day, it was very good. When He looked upon everything He had made in the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth day, it was good. What's the difference? Man. He created man, and man made creation very good. Also note here, here's where we see the distinction between life. Notice in verse 28 and 29, God talks about man, all the animals, all the fish of the sea, all the birds of the air as being life, and said to them, "I've given them the green plant for food." Distinction there. Maybe a small thing, but a distinction nonetheless. From the very beginning of time, plants have been for the use of man. They're ours. They're ours to use wisely, but they're ours to use. They were given to us. From the beginning of time, dominion over the animals, whether it be in the air, the sea, or on the land, was given to man. There was no other that was given this kind of rule and authority over the things of the earth. Why? Because this creation was for the one created in the image of God. For mankind himself. The heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. While the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heaven. Here, in these, 34, 35 verses, we have the story of the beginning of life, the beginning of breathable atmosphere, the beginning of land, the beginning of water, the beginning of plants, the beginning of animals, the beginning of time, the beginning of man. All through the spoken word of God. And upon its completion, God looked and it was good. It was very good. One of the things that I noticed as I was reading and considering some other thoughts in regard to this, I think it's Brother Haley, or Mr. Haley, in his Bible handbook, makes note that when you look at the days of creation, they can be paired together. When you look at day one and the things that take place on day one, the light, the day and the night, they can be paired with day four. The continuation of that. The sun, the moon, the stars, the day, the night, the seasons, the times, the years, the days. Then when you look at day two, what we have there is the creation of the expanse and the separation of the waters. The creation of the air and the seas. And on day five, we have the creation of the birds of the air and the fish of the seas. So those two pair together. And then when we look at the third day, we have there the creation of land. The land masses of this earth, however they may have been configured, and the plant life that was put upon them. And then on day six, the creation of the land animals and mankind himself that are dependent upon those things. So, if you ever have trouble trying to remember what happened on what days, maybe thinking of those pairings can help you keep that in mind. Also take note, when you look and read through Genesis chapter 1, there's a pattern. There's a, this is what I'm going to do. This is how it happened. It looks good. We finished the day. Each one laid out in that pattern. This is one of the reasons, I think, that so many look and say this is some sort of creation hymn or poetry written in a manner to tell the story of creation so that it's easily remembered. And while most of us look at it, well, it's there at the first of Genesis. I can find it without any trouble, and I know God created everything. We need to remember the things about this beginning. Because without this beginning, we have nothing. If any one part of this beginning didn't take place as it's laid out for it to take place, the earth wouldn't exist. We could look and we could analyze and we could spend a lot of time looking at these things based on the things that we have learned from science and the rules and such, and we could find out that if you created man before you made plants, they'd have a hard time getting along. If you created birds before you put the firmament in place, where would they have been? We talk about God's grand design. We talk about God's plan. This is one of the places that shows us that God had a plan. And certainly we understand through reading not just these few verses, but continuing reading through the book of Genesis, and we have the beginning of mankind, of family. We have the beginning of sin. We have the beginning of strife. We have the beginning of anger. We have the beginning of civilization. We have the beginning again. And then we have the beginning of God's people. The rest of the Bible tells us that story to show us that it's not just these things that matter, but God had a plan for all mankind from the very beginning to bring man back to Him. God knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew exactly what He needed in order to create this perfect place for man to live. And in looking at that design and the patterns that are shown in that design and in the creation of the world, just in those simple verses, we can understand that God had a plan. And through our study of the rest of Scripture, understand that that plan is involved in bringing us into a relationship with Him. Bringing us from darkness into the place that he's prepared for us. Have you thought about that? Genesis 1 starts with darkness and ends with a place perfectly prepared for mankind. We, as mankind, once we become old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, to be able to determine what is right and understand our actions and our motivations for those actions, we're in darkness. And God has a master plan that has been laid out in the pages of Scripture to bring us into that place that was prepared perfectly and exactly for us. Heaven, the abode of eternity. When you think about creation, don't just think about the beginning of the world. Think about the fact that it was for the purpose of bringing us to be with God for eternity. It's a whole new perspective on things. An apple tree is not out there just for me to eat, but it's part of what God has designed so that I can be sustained while I follow His design to bring me to heaven. We all understand what that design is. Our belief in the Lord has brought us here together. It's caused us to give our lives to the Lord, to sacrifice and to say, I will do what God wants me to do. And we've submitted ourselves to the will of the Lord. And we've agreed and we've committed ourselves to be His servants and to follow Him all the way through this world so that we can be with Him in heaven. But we're not perfect. We fail. As, if I can keep the series going, we'll find very quickly. Man, fail. And we do even today. We don't do everything God would have us to do. We do a few things that He wouldn't want us to do. Sometimes through ignorance, sometimes because we've just decided I'm going to do that anyway. Sometimes just because we're not paying attention to what we're doing. If you look in your life this evening, you can find that you've strayed from the plan that God has to bring you into heaven. We urge you to come back to God. Repent to Him. Ask Him to forgive. And we know that He will wipe away that sin as if it's never been. As long as we submit to His will. If we can live in accordance with His will and correct our wrongs, constantly seeking to please Him, we can follow the plan of God all the way into eternity and be with Him in the heaven that's been prepared for us. Not the sky where the birds fly, but the heaven where God dwells, our true home, that God has prepared for us, set aside for that purpose for all eternity. If you're subject to invitation, won't you come? Always stand and sing for encouragement.